Hello, everybody. My name is Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'd like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. In this podcast, we're going to continue the discussion from the last podcast entitled Everything You Need to Know About Carbs and Proteins.
Hi, my name is Blythe Alberg, and I would like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. Visit us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. If you're new to us, we suggest that you listen to the first 3 to 5 podcasts for the basic toolbox on fat loss.
And so, you know, let's talk a bit about insulin release, because that's a big factor. So this is why eating carbohydrates is such a problem for the body. Insulin is the hormone that was designed by nature to prevent us from starving to death, right? Now, everybody knows insulin causes sugar to be brought into the cell, and that's why diabetics need insulin to survive, right? What most people don't realize is that insulin also has many other roles. It actually carries other calories into other tissues. It carries, of course, sugar into the muscles, and it carries sugar into the fat cells where it's converted and turned into fat globules.
Stored as fat. Okay.
Right. So insulin literally shuts down the fat cell from releasing energy, right?
Okay. And for a period of time?
For a period of time. As long as insulin's in the blood at a certain quantity, it'll block the fat from releasing fat, the fat cells from releasing fat.
Okay.
And it actually shovels more fat into the fat cell.
Even if you're totally exercising, running on the treadmill at 6 miles an hour, and you ate a piece of cake before you went and did it.
Yeah.
Are you going to burn off the calories from the cake, or are you going to burn off fat while you're doing that?
Right. You're going to burn some fat, obviously. It doesn't block it entirely. But the more carbs you have, the more insulin you have running through your system while you're exercising or moving, the less fat is going to be
metabolized. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is why a lot of people, when they first get started working out, they get on the treadmill and in a few minutes, they're just completely wiped out.
Yeah.
You know, because the body is in such poor balance. Insulin is so high in their system that they cannot access fat for energy. Mm-hmm. And fat is a very efficient source of energy in the body. It's for the long run, right? If you're running a marathon, you're going to be using tons of fat during that process.
Right.
And if you had to rely on carbohydrates as your primary source, you would burn out in the first few miles.
Oh, yeah. I think that's another thing. We're talking about feeling great while you're exercising and being on the Atkins diet and whatnot. And I think part of that is without the carbohydrates, just like you said, we're dipping into the fat stores and using the fat as energy.
The efficiency of using that fat.
Oh, yeah.
And so you
feel more energetic. You feel better while you're doing it, although no carbohydrates at all may,
have the opposite effect.
Have the opposite effect, right?
Yeah, it's why when you're on an Atkins program, they don't really talk much about exercise at all. They recommend that you really don't do much in the way of exercise during the program. Again, that goes in the face of what we recommend for people.
Yes.
And any program that says, well, you better not exercise during this program because you're not going to be able to feel well. You're not going to be able to do it, and in fact, you may pass out. I don't think it's necessarily
that might be a red flag.
Yeah. So, we were talking about this before we started this podcast. Our ultimate goal, is to try to develop the formula for being able to lose and maintain the fat while being able to enjoy foods and keep the brain somewhat happy.
Yeah, right? Keep your life fun. It doesn't have to be a drag.
Right. And so we'll be giving you tools and techniques for that. But for now, just know that carbohydrates cause a secretion of insulin, and insulin's main role is to stop us from starving to death, keep fat in the fat cells. So if anything that you do to bring insulin up is going to literally annihilate your fat burning metabolism.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So what happens after we take the first bite of a meal? Okay. Let's say we're having a couple slices of bread.
Okay.
What ends up happening is the body has two releases of insulin. The first release is a big bolus dose of insulin that enters the blood once the carbohydrates enter the blood. And it's the insulin that had been stored up while you've been fasting. Right?
Okay.
And so your insulin levels peak 30 minutes after your meal.
Okay.
And then for the next 3 hours, what ends up happening is the pancreas slowly produces and releases insulin into the blood. And so the insulin levels slowly drop over that 3.5 hour period, mm-hmm. right? Now, while insulin levels are dropping, this other hormone called glucagon is increasing. And that hormone has the opposite effect. It causes energy to be released from storage. It pulls sugar out of the muscles. It pulls fat out of the fat cells, mm-hmm. okay? That's why insulin-dependent diabetics who go into shock, into insulin shock, where their blood sugar drops so low, they're given a shot of glucagon, and what mm-hmm. happens is within minutes it brings them around okay. because glucagon is that powerful at pulling energy out of storage.
Wow, okay.
Okay? So insulin and glucagon cannot be elevated at the same time. If you have a high insulin level, glucagon levels are low.
Okay.
So that 3.5 hour period where insulin levels are high, you're not burning fat at all.
Right.
Okay? So after that 3.5 hour period, that's when you start to burn fat, right? Okay. Well, what happens when people eat all day long and eat, you know, 6 or 7 meals throughout mm-hmm. the day, and those meals are comprised primarily of carbohydrates? They never get out of the elevated insulin levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their insulin levels are chronically elevated.
But I've heard so many times 6 to 7 meals a day are a great idea.
You hear 5 to 6 meals a day. And the truth is, when you're competing and when you're exercising a lot, people can get away with that, right?
Okay.
Because you know tons of bodybuilders and people who eat 5 to 6 meals a day.
Right. Although there are not carbohydrates at every single meal. That may be one of the tricks.
And so here is the trick. What we want to do, it doesn't mean you can't have carbohydrates necessarily to lose fat.
Right.
But what it means is that you want to separate any meal that has carbohydrates by 5 to 6 hours.
From exercise?
No. You want to separate the two meals that have carbohydrates by 5 to 6 hours.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
if you have a meal mm-hmm. and then you have another meal 3 hours later, you want that second meal to be a protein-containing meal and not a carb-containing meal.
Gotcha.
Because protein actually increases more glucagon and keeps insulin levels low.
Okay, cool.
All right. So
scientific.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So you have your meal. Let's say it's a carb containing meal. Insulin levels go up over the 3.5 hours. It drops.
Okay.
At 3.5 hours, you have another meal. That's a protein containing meal. Let's say it's some lean chicken, or even, you know, some eggs or something like that. Then you know, the insulin levels remain low. And now, let's say you have another meal 3 hours later with carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
So between that 3.5 hour period and then 3 hours later, that's all fat burning time.
So you've got 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So would it be optimal to work out during that time?
You could work out during that time. We'll give rules for working out a little bit later. But for now, I'll tell people this. You never want your insulin levels to be high when you're working out to lose fat.
Okay.
Now, gotcha. If you're working out to put on muscle, it's different,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
If you're skinny and you want to add muscle mass, mm-hmm. having insulin levels high, you know, when you're exercising can have a positive impact on muscle mass because insulin pulls protein into the muscle.
Yes. Yeah. A whole nother topic we might want to get into.
A whole nother topic later. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
we'll probably get into that later.
Don't get
on.
Me off on that tangent.
I know. I've got a bunch of things to say now too. So.
Okay, so these are just some tips that people can use and put them to the test. See how they work for you.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't work, you know, discard them. But if they do work, great, then continue to use them in your diet.
I think there's a lot of advice out there that would agree with what you just said.
I think so. I think a lot of the programs, they may not say it this way, but for instance, there is a book called The Leptin – Mastering Leptin.
You had mentioned that to me
before. Great book. Great book. I think the author's name is Byron Richards.
Okay.
And he talks about this. But the solution he came to, I don't necessarily agree with. And that is, he said you should only have 3 meals a day because of this impact on insulin.
Okay. And leptin is a hormone.
Is another hormone, yeah, that we'll dedicate a whole show to. Mm-hmm. But for now, just know that he recommends three meals a day because of this insulin effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, it doesn't have to be 3 meals as long as the snacks that you have in between are protein based.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, easy enough. So you can still feed your body, but it doesn't have to be a carb meal.
Right.
Okay.
So that's another approach that people can take when we're talking about carbs and proteins. You put it to the test, see if it works for you.
Okay.
So we've talked about Atkins. We've kind of talked about the 5 to 6 meals with the snacks being protein containing and not carb containing.
Okay. So should we talk about
Let's talk about your program.
Okay.
Like what you're doing.
Sure.
So you're preparing for a show.
Mm-hmm. I've pretty much cut out all refined carbohydrates.
Meaning?
Bread. Not eating bread. I do the carbohydrates I eat. Let me tell you this because it's a much shorter list than what I don't eat. I'm eating oatmeal, either steel cut oats or whole oatmeal, old fashioned oats, depending on where I'm grocery shopping. Sweet potatoes, jasmine or brown rice. That's about it for the carbohydrates.
Fair enough. Hey, it makes it easy, right?
Makes it easy.
The easier, the better.
It is easy. And I, of course, carbohydrates come from everywhere. So I eat grapefruit. I do eat fruit. I eat strawberries, blueberries, everything natural. I do eat cottage cheese, which has got minimal carbohydrates in it, but it's still carbohydrate. They still add up. Proteins I'm eating, eggs, chicken, fish, tuna. Occasionally I'll throw some avocado in there for some healthy fats. I do take fat supplements because I know a lot of women out there don't get enough fat. That was the big fad.
The healthy fats.
Right.
Omega-3s.
Yeah. Omega-3, 6, and 9s, right. I know the fad back in the day, now, I think I was in high school and my mom was following all these fad diets. It was cut out the fat from your diet.
Yes.
Everything became fat free. Do you remember that?
And that's when diabetes spiked because as Americans, if it goes fat free, I mean, fat really multiplies the flavor of the food, right? It expands the flavor of the food. And Americans are not going to eat bland food. So what happened was the low fat became what?
High sugar.
High sugar, right. And
for everything to taste okay and be able to sell and right.
People got fatter. People still abide by that low fat program, don't they?
I know.
You still see tons and tons of low fat foods out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It blows me away.
It blows me away too. But they just don't know yet. So hopefully they know after listening to this.
Yes. Fat is not your enemy. Let me tell you, when it comes to fat loss, that is not the primary enemy here.
I agree. Yep. Yeah. I do take fat supplements to ensure I get enough fat. I eat whole eggs. I don't just eat egg whites.
Yeah.
One whole egg is like the nature's perfect protein. I think it's the only place you can find the perfect balance is inside one whole egg. What else do I eat? Oh, geez.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much salmon.
I mean, every protein.
You've made it very easy for yourself, you know, and it may sound bland to people, but when you're doing what we call a therapeutic lifestyle program, a therapeutic lifestyle, meaning that there's a particular health goal that you're trying to achieve.
Yes.
Then the simpler it is, the better. Like you eat basically the same thing every day.
I do.
And there's nothing
wrong with
that.
I've got two or three days worth of mixing it around. I've got like three different breakfasts that I'll have and I'll just alternate them depending on the day.
Okay.
Makes it easy.
It makes it very easy.
One day is eggs, like two whole eggs and five egg whites. That'll be breakfast. If I'm going to go work out right away, that's usually what I'll do. Different day would be, I have a great recipe for protein pancakes. They taste just like regular pancakes. I know everybody's saying, yeah, right. A bodybuilder's telling us they taste like regular pancakes.
Right.
They're fantastic. And I will share that recipe, at some point during one of these podcasts. We'll have a recipe podcast. I think I've got lots of great recipes.
What we can do is,
if you give it to me,
I'll put it on the written part of the blog.
Yeah, that'd
be
great.
So for this
idea.
Podcast.
I've got lots of yummy recipes I'd like to share.
Great, great. Wonderful.
And then day number three would be like a quarter or half cup of oatmeal with some protein powder, a scoop of protein powder in there, and some fresh berries.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are out there thinking, oh, well, that's not going to work for me because that just does not sound enticing. And I can understand that. You know, you and I were having a discussion about, I was on a high protein program, a high protein diet.
Did you say was?
I was. Well, listen, I was on a high protein diet. You were on a high protein diet at the same time, right? And so we got to talking and I was talking about how horrible it is. It's not fun to do an Atkins style program, is it?
Especially if it's your first time.
Yeah. Well, it's not fun for anybody. nobody likes doing
I'm getting more used to it, but
yeah,
I'm not going
to
say that
it's
easy.
Necessarily fun.
Right.
And, we got to say, well, how is it that we're able to do this? Like, how are we able to maintain a high protein diet for any long period of time when it's not a fun thing to do? And the solution I came to is this, is that when you have a particular goal in mind, you can stick with it for longer periods of time. So if I say, okay, I'm gonna lose 3 pounds. That's my goal. I'm going to be on a high protein diet until I achieve that. Then you have an end to that.
Yes, or 5 inches off my waist, or whatever your goal is.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if I lose 3 pounds of fat, for instance, this might be my goal.
Yeah.
Then you achieve it, and then you can kind of take a relaxation day, mm-hmm. or carb up day, or what have you.
Yeah, and maintaining is much different than actually reaching your goal.
Right. It is. Yeah. So you don't have to be on Atkins
or a
high protein program forever.
Right.
Because what we're trying to do is achieve an end.
Yes.
You know, it's a means to an end. And then at that point, we want to get on a program that can help you maintain, which is oftentimes a lot more tolerable.
Yes.
When you have your show, when mm-hmm. you have your competition, and then after you win your competition, what is it that you're going to do as far as the diet goes? Is it going to be the same or is it going to change?
I thought you were going to ask me, what am I going to eat right afterwards?
I know what you're going to eat. She's going to eat a Cinnabon. We don't mind telling you.
I was going to say Cinnabon.
We don't mind telling you that.
Something high carbs, high sugar, high fat. Give it all to me.
Oh, my God. You're going to put on 30 pounds in one day. No, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way. My diet after that will be virtually the same, but I'll probably throw in a couple of snacks here and there that something I enjoy eating. If I want to go out to dinner, it's not going to be bring your own food. It's going to be, or do they have grilled salmon there, or do they have dry lettuce?
Yeah.
It's not going to be that regimented. I can still go out to dinner 2-3 times a week, order something a little healthier from the menu. And once I see the pounds go up or once my inches start going up, guess what? I'll cut back for a couple of days and I'll be right back to where I was.
Right. There you go.
So maintenance is much easier than reaching the goal or attaining the goal. I wish everybody would let that resonate, so they would really give any program that they choose to do a good sticking chance, because there is a means to an end, like you said. And once you get there, maintenance is easy.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Okay. So let's do this. Let's take a step back. We've kind of given people a lot of fodder about the thought process behind mm-hmm. these high protein programs or low carb programs. Let's kind of just take a step back and say, okay, so you're listening to the podcast, you're wanting to get started. Okay, so what should be the first thing that people do? I want to tell people this, because this is a very important concept. If you are in horrible biochemical shape, if you're just out of shape and you know it, and you've been eating junk food, you've been eating tons of refined carbohydrates, then what I've found is that these people are in such poor metabolic shape that you can't just go and say, okay, I'm going to change from a refined carb from a white bread to a whole wheat bread. Even if it's a well baked whole wheat bread, meaning that it's a stone ground, mm-hmm. very heavy, lots of fiber and stuff. If you're in very poor metabolic shape, you may not even be able to handle fruits,
right?
Because your body just can't process any sugar. So with those people, what I'd recommend is that you go on nearly an Atkins style program, a program that is based around very high protein, very low carbohydrate, mm-hmm. what even fruits, even oatmeal, even things like that, for at least a period of time, maybe a week,
mm-hmm.
maybe 2 weeks. You just kind of have to play it by ear and see what kind of result you get, because a couple things will happen. Number one, you will lose weight that way.
Yes.
Fairly rapidly. You may lose a pound a day. In situations like that.
Yeah, I've known guys will generally lose a little bit more than females, and I guess it's probably just a size issue.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure about that, but guys can lose 8 to 10 pounds in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
No problem on an Atkins-style diet.
That's one benefit of it, mm-hmm. The second benefit is that you will literally shock your system back into biochemical balance.
Yes.
So now when you start to add some more carbohydrates to the program, your body is able to process and utilize and burn and metabolize
Use them,
things.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Weren't we talking about one of the books that you had read? She was saying 72 hours.
Yeah. This is the Crack the Fat Loss Code book. Wendy Chant. She talks about that it takes about 72 hours for your body to get into a fat burning zone, right?
Okay.
After you've gone onto a high protein, low carb program.
Okay, so you sort of fast off the carbohydrates.
Right. So
for a week.
If you're off the carbohydrates, let's say you're eating 20 grams of carbohydrates, which is almost nothing.
Almost nothing.
It takes about 72 hours for your body to burn away the stored up sugar in your muscles before your body will then resort to primarily burning fat.
Okay.
Right? Like mm-hmm. your body has a tendency to want to use carbohydrates for energy, right? Because it's a very clean burning fuel, carbohydrates. Fat, not so clean. Fat has when fats are metabolized, it leaves byproducts that the body has to treat like a toxin and pull out of the system. Mm-hmm. Ketones would be one of them.
Yes.
And so the body has a tendency to want to burn carbohydrates for energy. So that's why after you've depleted the glycogen stores in your muscle, then the body's able to really access fat. Fat then becomes the fuel of choice, right?
Yes.
So there is a way around that, obviously, or a way around that 72-hour period is if you were to really exercise hard, you could force the body to burn away that glycogen, right? So you might only take a day to get into a fat-burning zone.
But if you're totally biochemically unbalanced, you would recommend a week of...
At least a week where you're very high protein, very low carb.
Okay.
And then at that point, then we'll start to say, okay, let's try adding some of these healthier carbohydrates into the mix.
Do you think there's like a fog that will lift from these people?
Yeah. I mean, you notice that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I notice it every time I cut out any refined carbohydrates. And I actually never noticed the fog settling.
Right.
If I eat a Reese's peanut butter cup or two before bed, I do wake. Actually, you know what? I guess I do notice. I wake up the next morning and I feel a little groggy. Yeah. I think groggy is actually a carbohydrate hangover.
Yeah, that may be. I mean, people don't realize how poorly they feel until they have had an opportunity to feel good, right?
Fantastic. Right. You've got nothing to compare to.
Yeah. It's like if I were to give you something to hold, like a little rubber ball, and just I told you, squeeze that ball, hold it, and hold it for, let's say, 10, 15 minutes. And eventually what ends up happening is you forget about the tension that's in your hand, right? Mm-hmm. You forget about the tension. And then when I say, okay, release the ball, then you all of a sudden know what it feels like to be relaxed in that hand. So the same thing happens as we get caught up in feeling poorly, and then we don't realize we're feeling poorly anymore, right? So what we want to shock the system into biochemical balance again so that now the body's able to process and handle more carbohydrates. And when we add those carbohydrates back, what are we going to do? Are we going to add more white bread?
Let's hope not. No M&Ms. Right. Let's try putting in some of the higher grade carbohydrates.
Now, you can look at glycemic index. I know you're a fan, right?
I am.
Glycemic index and glycemic load. Those are tools that we use to assess the quality of a carbohydrate.
Yes.
Right. And what determines quality by glycemic index and load is the rate at which the carbohydrates in that food get into the blood and the amount of insulin that basically is secreted.
Okay. So the lower the food on the glycemic index, the slower the release of insulin.
And the better the fat loss. And they've done tons of research with glycemic index and glycemic load, and they seem to be quite effective at helping people lose fat over long periods of time. Now, if you were just to jump onto a glycemic index program, they're still pretty high in carbohydrates. You will lose fat, but it's going to take a longer period of time to achieve your results because your body will be handling carbohydrates, and insulin is always going to be secreted when you eat any amount of quantity, even good carbs.
So we're trying to help people get there the quickest way possible.
Right. This is what point number one is. It's just, if you're in bad biochemical shape, high protein, low carb, do it for at least a week. If you can go longer, go another week. See what kind of results you get. See how you feel. Pay attention to all those things. Monitor your results. And then at that 1 to 2 week period, when you feel ready to begin to add some carbohydrates back into the mix, then we can say, okay, let's start adding some good ones back. Mm-hmm. Eating more salads, adding some fruits to the mix.
Yeah, hopefully fresh vegetables, lower glycemic fresh fruits.
Lower glycemic index fruits, right?
Berries are a great one.
Berries are great, yep.
They're yummy, number one. I think most people would agree with me. And they're a great on-the-go snack. I know a lot of people are busy. Life gets in the way. Mm-hmm. There are snacks out there that are fresh, unprocessed, low glycemic, great diet food, if you will.
Right. There are a couple fruits you want to stay away from. Bananas have a tendency to be fairly high in sugar.
Even apples are up there.
Apples are up there. Mm-hmm. Grapes actually have glucose in them. Like most fruits have fructose, which is slower burning, slower absorbing, lower glycemic. But grapes have glucose. Glucose is immediately utilized by the cell and causes an immediate increase in insulin. So you have a tendency to want to stay away from grapes, at least in any significant quantity.
Okay. I didn't know that about grapes.
You know, nuts are great too. You know, mm-hmm. nuts are really considered more of a fat than they are a carbohydrate, but they do have carbs in them.
Most of them are even carbohydrates and fats.
Are they,
I've been finding out. Almonds are actually higher in carbohydrates, and I know that a lot of the diets recommend eating almonds. Those have like 12 grams of carbs per handful, whereas like cashews are 7.
Yeah.
And fats are 7 with cashews. So definitely read the labels and choose something that's lower in carbohydrates. Educate yourself. Become an expert.
Yeah. Now, when we're moving from that extremely high protein into a moderately high protein, moderately low carb program, then, you know, eating nuts and taking a handful of nuts is not a bad thing at all.
No. No. Oh, it's wonderful.
And even on the high protein program, you can have a handful of nuts.
That's a great maintenance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we want to get you to the point where you are, you know, we still want you to be losing weight at a fairly rapid rate, right? Mm-hmm. So we want people to be closer or higher in the protein, but we're just trying to start to add, you know, a little bit more carbohydrate food intake at this point, right?
Cleaner burning.
Yeah.
Like optimum fuel.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I think that's probably a good point to keep it around the 25%. I think 25% is a reasonable amount of carbohydrates to have at this point to continue to lose.
I think so too. And I think it's actually relatively low compared to what people are probably eating.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to go out there and find foods at the grocery store that are like 50-50. 50% carbohydrates, 50% protein. Or, you know, even anyway, as far as grams go.
Right.
Finding calories. Anything. Yeah, grams and calories. If you can find anything that's higher in protein than carbohydrates, you're still going to be at like, I don't know, 30% carbohydrates.
Yeah.
If you're not really watching your food intake.
It is so easy. It is so easy to overdo it with carbohydrates in our society.
Let's talk about pizza.
Pizza. Everybody loves pizza, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like,
it's like the American food.
It is like the American staple, but it is like the mortal sin of fat loss. And it's a great metaphor for the foods that you don't want to eat. Like if I was to have a mascot for bad food, it'd be pizza, right? As far as fat loss
but
goes.
But if you're on the Atkins diet, you can just pick off the pepperoni and you'll be fine, right?
Oh, no. you can eat the pepperoni, but you can't eat the
pepperoni.
Rest of the pizza, right? So, you know, what's wrong with pizza is this, is I mentioned that insulin is a carrier, right? Mm-hmm. It carries energy into the cell. Pizza is a very high carbohydrate food. The crust is just a concentrated source of carbohydrates. But on top of that, it has cheese, which is very high fat, right?
Yes.
And so what you're doing is you're putting carbohydrates and you're putting fat into the blood at the same time.
Okay.
And when that happens, what's going to happen is the insulin's going to go up. It's going to carry the carbohydrates into the cells. Mm-hmm. And it's going to carry the fat into the fat cells.
Okay.
So it's horrible.
I wanted to know what you had to say about that.
You know, I mean, I love pizza like everybody else does. But when we're talking fat loss, it really has no place in anybody's program.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Except maybe on a carb up meal if you really want to add it in there.
Yeah, stuffed crust for me.
Stuffed crust. Oh yeah.
What about
wonderful, isn't it?
What about like a healthier choice? I know something promoted for lunches out there all the time as a healthier choice are like bagels and cream cheese.
Same problem. It's all carb and fat, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now you can technically get a low fat cream cheese, right?
Technically.
And I think all that does is
add, but I think that's higher sugar
carbs to the mix, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Bagels are horrible because they're very highly concentrated in carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're so dense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very dense. And I remember when I was in undergrad seeing an Oprah show where they were talking about how the bagel is like the perfect food because it's got carbohydrates, it's got protein, and it's got fat. And that combination is what has put us in this position, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. So it's not even just the carbs that's the problem. I mean, carbs are a big part of the puzzle, but the fact that we have gotten so good at combining carbs, proteins, and fat together, haven't we?
Yeah.
Hamburgers, another example.
Oh, my gosh.
You got all those carbohydrates in the bun and then all of the fat in the burger.
Yeah.
Right?
How about the cheese on top?
And then the cheese on top.
And the mayonnaise.
And all that stuff. Yeah, it's crazy. And then the high fructose corn syrup and the ketchup that you're putting – and we're going to talk about high fructose corn syrup later as well because that's a major, major problem. You don't want to be getting high fructose corn syrup if your goal is fat loss. Don't get it in anything. It's horrible, horrible for product for it actually has been linked to the obesity epidemic independently. and certainly to diabetes.
Wow.
So that's a side note. So, you know, that's, I think, some of the main points. I mean, have we missed anything in this discussion?
As far as proteins go, I guess there are so many sources of protein out there. Yeah. I mean, I like to give people ideas of what they can actually go out and get that is a healthy protein.
What's healthy? Healthy to me would be clean. Like the problem with processed meats, like salami and bologna and hot dogs, is they have other compounds like nitrates and nitrites and monosodium glutamate and all kinds of other compounds. Try to find clean protein sources. You know, like if you have
unprocessed.
Unprocessed.
Yeah.
Yes. If you have like a slab of uncooked chicken, there's not much that's been done to that,
right? That's right. Right. And there may be a little sodium in it if it was stored, but really we're not worried about that at this stage.
The incredible edible egg, right?
Yes. Yeah. Eggs, any lean meats, even tuna fish in a can, or they actually sell tuna fish in a pouch now. So you can take it with you and stick it on, you know, not a bagel, but.
What about yogurt?
Yogurt. That's a whole. There are a couple of different grades of yogurt out there.
Yeah.
Top grade Greek yogurt. It's very close to a sour cream consistency. And of course, the non-flavored one is the best because it's got the least amount of sugar, and it actually is higher in protein than carbohydrates. So it's a great on-the-go snack.
You can add berries to that mix.
You can add berries to it. Yeah. You could. Yeah. Yeah, you can add something to flavor it up a little bit. You can even add like a tablespoon of peanut butter.
But adding berries to an unflavored or a plain yogurt is not the same as getting a blueberry yogurt because they add sugar.
High fructose corn syrup.
And high fructose corn syrup along with the berries.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And like the, I'm not picking on a brand, but Yoplait or Danon, all of those yogurts are so high in fruit. There's like 27 grams of sugar in one tiny little serve of yogurt.
But yogurt is kind of listed as a health food.
Just like bagels.
Yeah, it's crazy. So you guys definitely can't rely on marketers to give you your fat loss information.
No.
You can't rely on the government because the government sees bagels and yogurt as good sources and good foods to eat as far as health goes.
Back to reading labels, right?
Oh, yeah.
Educating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hard to do. Don't be discouraged by even just looking at the back of it and looking at the numbers and maybe not even knowing what you're looking at. But as you start looking at labels, you're going to realize that there's a lot of variance between, you know, a rice cake versus a piece of bread.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. I think that that's a good starter discussion for proteins and carbohydrates. I think that they'll get a lot of good information from this. I hope. If you guys have questions, you can reach us through the podcast. Just go to www.cutthefatpodcast.com and check us out there. You can email us through that website. If you have questions, we'll be happy to take those questions and we'll talk about them here on the air. You can also just roam through, check out some of the articles. And just have fun and let us know how we can help you guys. So that again is www.cutthefatpodcast.com. And, you know, we thank you guys for tuning in.
Thanks.